Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Alderbach. With me, Danny Braff.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Fresh from Skankfest. Yeah. You know, you had a crazy appearance recently on Kill Tony.
Yeah, it was the coolest moment of my life.
Really? Tell me about it.
Well, Kill Tony's like my favorite pop. No, it's top three favorite podcasts of mine. I like that.
Did it go like this?
Music to that song.
One more time for Danny Braff.
Are you just going to listen to it?
Uninterrupted starts now.
Thank you. I work at Costco. I'm one of those people that hand out samples. You meet interesting people when you hand out samples at Costco. The other day, a man walks into Costco with a shirt on that says, "Masturbation is murder." And I chuckled, because when I see "masturbation is murder," I think, "Call me Ted Bundy." If masturbation's murder, they're making a Netflix documentary about every single person in this room. And if masturbation is murder, does that mean wearing a condom is kidnapping? So I chuckle, and he says, "What are you laughing at, sir?" I said, "Nothing." He says, "Are you laughing at my shirt?" I said, "No, it's okay." He says, "It's not okay. Billions and billions of people die every day from masturbation." And I say, "On a slow day." Thank you very much.
Danny Braff.
Can I tell you what I liked about what I just heard?
The voice crack at around 30 seconds in?
That's what I was going to mention that. But also, you let the writing linger. You tell the joke, they would go, woo, and you wouldn't try to go, "Oh, let me do the next. You would just paw off it.
Part of me almost, on the punch where it goes, wearing a condom kidnapping, and they like applauded, I almost was like, "Don't applaud." Like, cause I was like, "Oh shit." It was getting a bigger reaction than any other time I've ever done that joke ever. There was an extra tag to the end that's my favorite part of the joke that I did not get to do because the joke was hitting so hard. So as it was hitting, I was like, "Oh, I'm not going to be able to finish the joke." But I was like, I accepted that. I was like, I'd rather kill and just let them do
the reaction. I'll kill for 20 seconds. If they applaud for 10, air in my favor.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I'd rather that than be able to do the last punchline. And you know what? Then if they ever see me live, they can see that last punchline live.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
How nervous were you before this
So
moment?
Fucking nervous. Because it was my second time. I got on last year, and it was a good set. Not as good, but very good. It's my favorite part, and I watch it all the time, and every single time Tony pulls a name out of the bucket, I was like, "Is it going to be me?
Is it going to
be me?" And I'm getting prepared, and then it's not me. And then
you wait
again, and you think, and then it, boom.
Like
it's
edging.
Not. Yeah, it's 100% like edging. It's like edging, 100%.
Am I getting all the attention now?
Yeah.
Will I bomb? What's happening?
And then, when you get your name, instantly, I was filled with adrenaline. I was kind of shaking. Not kind of. I was shaking. But it's comfortably, it's a joke I've done 1,000 fucking times, and I know it right to back, front to back, back to front. I do it in my sleep, which I think is the reason I did well, because if I was doing like a new bit that I wasn't fully familiar with, I would have forgotten it. Because there were other people that get called up, and then they just they forget whatever they're saying. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And
then, that's happened to me early.
Yeah.
Dude, you freeze for 30 seconds in the middle of a 7-minute set. Yeah.
And doing it. Freezing during a set at a mic or at a show is bad, but the stakes are much higher on this.
They're recording it right now, and this is it. You have one fucking shot.
And any other set I do, if I do a set here, I record it, it's my choice to put it on YouTube or not.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't like it, if it doesn't go well, I'm not putting it up. Mm-hmm. If it goes well, I can choose to put it up. This, if it goes well, it's going up. If it doesn't go well, it's going up. It's going up no matter what. It's not up to me. And more people are going to listen and watch it then, and it's already got on the video version has like 30,000 views already, and the podcast is probably gonna get close to 150,000,
and it might be like even streaming on YouTube as you're doing it.
More people are gonna see it than anything else I've ever done, so that the stakes are higher.
It's like being an Olympic diver,
and
your coach like does like the signal to you with the flippers on from across the pool, and he's like calling for like the quadruple backflip into the tuck. and you just have to like nod at your coach and then like get up there, and the Olympic judges are all got their pens in your hand, and you're like, I'm gonna try to do four fucking backflips right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's 100%. Like, I could chip my fucking tooth on the fucking diving board because I've never done it where these many people are watching.
So many people, 500 people in the room, plus some of my idols. Big Jay Oakerson.
Right.
Excuse me. Michael Che.
Yeah.
Found out Doug Benson was in the room afterwards. Didn't realize he came up to, I didn't even realize he was there, but he came up to me afterwards and said it was awesome. So it's like, it's so nerve-wracking. Yeah. That's why my voice cracked, bro, I think. My voice hasn't cracked in forever. And then as it cracked, I almost acknowledged it, but I was like, no. If my voice cracked during a normal set, I would make a joke about it and acknowledge it, but I didn't have the time to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did your voice crack at your bar mitzvah? Did you have one?
I did have a bar mitzvah. You know what's weird? I don't...
They're talking about coming of age, you know?
Yeah.
they got the straps around you. Your uncles are there.
I thought you were saying because of the jokes, coming of age. I thought you were saying, like, C-U-M, coming of age.
How dare you? This is a family show. Get the fuck out. What I'm saying is, you know, your family's there. You know, you got the cardboard strap to your wrist or whatever the fuck that is.
That's very disrespectful.
Yeah, I have no respect for religion whatsoever. You're doing this bizarre Jew magic, and, you know, your family's there to watch you. You have to read a dead language from a ooky spooky book.
Well, here's the interesting thing about that. I don't really believe in the religion. I think it's weird. Like, I don't go to synagogue. I went to synagogue for the first time in, like, 5 years, a couple weeks ago. And I was, I knew, just because I went when I was younger all the time, I knew the words, the prayers, and I would say it along, but I had no clue what I was saying. I'm speaking a language. I'm saying these words, but I don't know what they mean. And I just thought that was interesting. And I feel like 95% of the people in that room, same thing.
Did that prepare you
Did my bar mitzvah prepare me for Kyotoni?
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Not at all?
Yeah.
You just think just the doing stand up as much as you do, that prepared you?
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with
my bar mitzvah.
I'm interested in coming-of-age stories.
I think anyone who has a bar mitzvah should go on Kyotoni, and I think they would be much better. I think...
I got so cocky.
That's why Jews are so funny.
I was so cocky in my fucking University of New Orleans screenwriting class, because someone would be like, oh, I wrote a comedy. I'd be like, is it? Is it? I smoked weed and did a set with black people last night. What the fuck kind of comedy are you talking about? I wrote a comedy. And then it's like some white privilege Christmas story. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. My friends will eat you alive. Anyway, speaking of being eaten alive by gators, you're from Florida, and you started not with comedy, but with magic.
Just to correct you, I'm not from Florida. I started comedy. I'm from Flemington. I'm from where I moved to Florida for a couple years. Now I'm back. But I started comedy in Florida.
Did you do college in Florida?
I took a couple college classes.
Yeah.
I didn't graduate at Palm Beach State College.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had, like, family and friends that lived down there. And I love Florida. I go back very frequently. I think it has a great comedy scene. There's a lot of great comics that I think are doing, should be much bigger than they are.
What kind of magic did you...
Well, I started as a magician. But when I was a magician, I did magic since I was, like, little. Like, when I was 6, 7, I was very into it, like a lot of kids are. And I grew up and I...
You get a magic book or like a kit in the mail with like a fake hat?
My grandfather bought me a magic kit. And instead of just giving me the kit and being like, happy birthday, every time I would see him, he would give me one new trick. So it would make me look forward to seeing him.
Oh, wow.
And he would teach me one trick at a time. So I would practice that one trick. And I mean, I think it's the reason I kept doing magic for so long. I think he was just trying to take one gift and then make it like... 1,000 gifts, so he didn't have to keep buying me shit. But I mean, that's how I started. But then I just got better and better and learned more and got to meet some of the.
But he did give you a gift. It's like, you know, he could get you a super soaker water gun, but you're gonna be bored with that after 2 months. He gave you a life skill forever.
Yes. And I used to love Matt. I don't really like it as much anymore. I think there's magicians that I really do respect, but. A lot of magic and a lot of 99% of magicians are not good, with like 5 exceptions.
They're not doing real magic?
No magicians are doing real magic.
Well, you know, you ever summon the devil and like walk through a wall?
I mean, that's kind of my thing, but no. I only do that on Tuesdays, but the other days I'm just doing
kids at the synagogues. Rumors.
Yeah.
Rumors. I mean, so anyway, you started magic in Florida.
No, started magic when I was little. Started comedy in Florida.
Okay.
But so then I met a lot of cool people through magic. Some of the best magicians in the country. Don't want to name drop, so I'm not going to name people. But mm-hmm. went to a lot of conventions. I was actually making some good money doing like corporate magic and events and whatever. And then one of, do you know who Harrison Greenbaum is? Okay, he's a comedian in New York. He's at the Cellar, and he's pretty successful, doing 6-7 spots a night at the main clubs in the city and touring, doing clubs, whatever. He also does magic. He's kind of like, people know him as a stand-up. He was on America's Got Talent, just did stand-up, Last Comic Standing, just did stand-up. But he also does magic, and I knew him through magic, and he recommended to me to get, because I wanted to do comedy magic. He told me to try doing stand-up without magic, and then get funny as a stand-up. Take out the magic, get funny, learn to be funny without stand-up, and then when you put the magic back in, it'll be really, really, really great.
Yeah.
So he gave me that advice because he's a friend of mine, and I respect him as a comedian. So I tried it, and I got really into stand-up. And that my plan originally was to get good at stand-up and then bring the magic back in. And then I got good at stand-up, and then kind of didn't really like magic anymore. So now I just...
But you still do it just for money, like a gigolo, like some kind of like used whore.
I'm a magic whore.
You go to Florida once a year. You're going to go in
July. 2 or 3 times a year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I go to Florida like a week, 2 or 3
times. And what kind of club promoter is... You know what I mean? You got a good relationship with the club guy?
There's a couple of comedy clubs in Florida. I mean, I may be doing a guest spot at the Palm Beach Improv when I'm down there. But most of the shows I do when I go down are bar shows. And
Well, you do magic there.
Oh, well, what I'll do when I go down is I'll go and I'll do one like corporate event. I'll make like a good amount of money on that, and I'll pay for the rest of the trip. But it won't be like at a club. It will just be at like a...
An office building, like meeting room,
like sometimes a hotel. Like I'd either do a corporate event or a bar mitzvah or
bar mitzvah.
Yeah,
or something. Or a hotel.
Wherever, event room. Some of them hotels. Some of them at banquet halls. Wherever. I've done like things for Office Depot and that's
really
that's the big one. That's the coolest.
Their
person.
Corporate office.
Yeah,
is in Florida. Big.
The Office Depot Foundation, technically.
What?
Yeah.
Are there, like, kids with, like, tumors in their head?
No. I think they find kids with cancer and they give them paper clips and rubber bands.
And they make them fight. They take bets. Imagine that.
Yeah.
They give them each, like, a big lance, and they're in their electric wheelchair, and they go, towards each other.
Yeah.
Like, that's Office Depot's dirty little secret. They don't want to get to know about.
I don't know what the foundation does.
The cancer kids fighting to the death.
But it was a fun gig, and I do whatever. So I do the magic gig to pay for the comedy show.
Tell me about college in Florida.
I mean, I only took like 2 classes.
Two classes in the same semester, or you spread them out?
One class per semester. I was taking business class. I wasn't trying to graduate. I just wanted to learn the skills. I took a marketing class and then an entrepreneurship class, and I wasn't good at it. I'm not good at school of any. I was never good at it.
Yeah. High school. How were you in high school?
Not good.
At school.
Well, I was
or
also
socially.
Both.
Yeah.
I was
Tell
bad socially.
That.
I was pretty heavily bullied. I wouldn't say heavily, but it could have been worse.
Yeah.
I mean, there definitely could have been worse. I mean, but I didn't have many friends. But I was also not good at the school and learning. I'm not the smartest. I'm still not the smartest person. My parents get mad at me when I say that. They're like, you're smart, Danny. But no, I'm not.
So you went to Flemington High School?
100 and Central Regional High School.
Mm-hmm. And how were the girls there? What was your first kiss?
My first kiss was at summer camp in Maine. It was a Jewish summer camp.
Uh-huh. Oh.
It was actually,
was this before or after your bar mitzvah?
This was before.
You were like 12?
I think probably 11.
And some
it was at
Jew
camp.
Girl was like,
well, let me tell you, this is the interesting fact about this camp. You know the movie Wet Hot American Summer?
Uh-huh.
The director went to the same camp, and he based the movie off of his experience at my camp. Then when they rebooted it as a Netflix show, I guess he was being interviewed and mentioned, oh, Camp Moden, they that it was based off of my experience at that camp. And then they contacted the owner of the camp and was like, hey, is it true that your camp has a lot of, like, little kids fucking around and everything? And then the owner's like, it's not exactly true.
That's not, but that was your experience.
I mean, it, no, it, 100%. Everyone was, it was, yeah, yeah. It was just a bunch of kids making out.
Sucking and fucking.
Yeah,
and
yeah, exactly. It was, it was very weird. It, I mean, whoa. It wasn't like part of the, it wasn't like
In five, the itinerary.
It, in the activities. It wasn't like,
right.
Now we're playing soccer, now we're going swimming, and now we're going to suck,
but if you
suck
were,
a dick.
If you were sneaky, you would go, wait a minute, there's an hour between volleyball and breakfast or whatever. So, that's interesting. Let me schedule some things. So, you're autistic.
Not technically diagnosed, but yeah.
What you, so, you're close.
I'm probably autistic.
Like the tips in. You're not that? Balls deep autistic.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have Asperger's.
I'm talking about... A summer camp. No, not.
I don't even get that.
Just a tip got in.
Just the... Oh, I got it.
Of Asperger's.
Got it.
Asperger's?
Probably. My parents... I have the bit about it, about my parents brought me like four doctors to get me diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And they said I wasn't, but I mean...
All four said no?
Yeah, but they're wrong.
Mm.
I mean, the doctors say I'm wrong, but WebMD says I am, so...
Because you have the...
tendencies.
When they list the things, you go, oh, yep.
Check.
Yeah. Right. But then the doctor didn't co-sign because of your grades or...
I don't know.
Probably not the grades, huh? How were they in high school?
Grades were always poor. I'm not...
Right.
But I think I can fake it for a short amount of time. I think when I went to the doctors, I didn't want to be autistic. I knew what I was going for, and I didn't. So I would just like put on this, hey,
I'm super social.
I'm a person.
Mm-hmm. I'm a full person. My parents are wrong. Fuck.
I'm a real boy.
Uh-huh. That's what you said. They're like, this is a good American. What's wrong with you Jews? This guy's fine.
Yeah. So I think it was part me trying to. Put on any. I fool the doctors.
Wow.
It's like, yeah.
It's like you don't. You need to go. It's weird that you went for two semesters at a county college in Florida and you're fooling doctors. You know what I mean? It's like, what's book smart, really?
That's a good point.
Tell me about the. What was the flavor of the bullying in high school at Regional North Hunterdon?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I did have many friends. I had a couple friends. And then, I mean, never really got physical. Just make people... Here's the other thing. I would frequently not go to, like... I hated school so much because I felt like I was bad at it and the bullying and whatever. So I wouldn't go to school. I would just refuse. I would tell my mom I'm not going. And then she would be like, you... Excuse me. She would burp, and then she would be like, "But you have to go," and I wouldn't. And then there was a couple of times that my parents would like call the truancy officer, so I would have cops come to my house and bring me to school, and that did not help with the bullying.
Oh, when cops showed up?
Yeah, well, cops would drive me to school. They would force me to go to school.
Yeah,
so I would go to school in a cop car. And if I'm not going to school because I'm being bullied, and then you get brought to school in a cop car. I mean, that's.
It just depends
layer.
On how you put the flavor.
If you're
on
like,
it.
Yeah, I do drugs.
Yeah, whatever. They caught me doing graffiti, and I was fucking the mayor's daughter of Flemington. What?
I don't.
What?
Think...
They said.
Looking back, that's what I should have.
Get
done.
Your knees. Your knees are dupe and they're jupoon right now, and we need you at school studying. And you're like, whatever, police. You gotta. What are you gonna fucking take me there? You know what I mean? Kicking and screaming. You know what I mean? I'm eating this box tonight, dude.
I don't think they would.
Box.
You didn't know me then. No one would have believed that.
But I'm saying it's like if you're dropped off by a cop car, it's the flavor you put on it, man. Don't let them.
You're right.
It's too late. Put their bullying narrative on you.
Yeah, and looking back, I mean that would have been an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
But, it's too late. So I would have a lot of people make fun of me. People would throw tampons at me and fucking all. That happened twice, and then I got in trouble for it.
Was that twice in the same semester, or was that spread out through the year?
I think it was twice in like 2 years.
Okay.
There were two separate incidents.
That seems like
they were like, you know, I see that face. You know what would look good on that face? A tampon.
Was it used or was it fresh?
They were both fresh. Which is lucky.
Yeah, I did see that, but definitely in West Morris, I definitely saw some kid get bullied. And someone went, oh, man. Like they were like, you know, oh, you're such a great guy. And they pat him on the back, and they put two tampons on his back. So he's walking to class. He has no idea. Everyone behind him is dying laughing. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's sneaky. Because it's like, it comes from social praise, but then it's social humiliation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, good, you know, oh, I love you, you know?
Yeah.
Pat on the back, there's the tampon, you know? Yeah. Evidence.
I also remember something that it was like, then I ended up, I was a snitch, so I went and mm-hmm. reported it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they watched this was the fucking thing that pissed me off.
You tattled on the tampon?
Yeah.
Happened to somebody else.
What?
You tattled? I'm sorry, you tattled on bullying?
Yeah.
How so?
So I went to the principal's or whatever. I don't know what exactly what happened. Uh-huh. But I told someone. And then they went to watch the security cameras.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the people who put the tampons on threw them at me claimed that I provoked them. And then they looked at the video and there was no sound. Like, it was just low-budget security cameras.
Right, right.
And to me, it was pretty clear that I was sitting eating lunch, and then they come and throw a bunch of tampons at me.
Uh-huh.
And there was, even if I did provoke them, but they couldn't hear the audio, so the bullies didn't get in trouble at all.
Did they play the video for the bully?
Yeah.
And what the bully was narrating and saying, that's when I was provoked?
Yeah, I forget exactly. It was...
Because if you're munching on tuna salad, that looks like you're talking. So they could have put their narrative onto that.
I don't fully remember and said, how that went down.
He just said, I'm a ginger fuck boy, you know, so I threw a tampon at him. You know? It's like you watch the Zapruder film.
I think
like,
you're not picturing...
It's pretty clear.
It was more than a tampon. It was like a bunch of tampons.
Yeah. How many tampons you think?
I don't know. I feel like it was like a lot, but it probably wasn't as much as I remember. Yeah.
So I was a German exchange student, you know, I went to Germany and in high school and we had a German kid stay with us.
999.
Hey, the winners, you know.
I just said 999 and high five, Tim, for those of you listening.
No. So that's the word. Anyway, I bombed a joke. Anyway, so we went over, I will never forget this as long as I live. They had English poetry night when we were over in Germany. So they gather us around the high school in the quad, and they were like, hey, there's English poetry happening here. You know, you guys are American. You guys know what we're saying. So we said, great, let's go down there. And they're like, it'll be comforting for you guys to hear English from Germans. And then I remember, like, the German fucking poems were so fucking weird that it was, like, really unsettling. Because, like, the first guy
comes... In what way were they weird?
Well, he's like, hello, I'm Norbert Niedelhausen. This is my... poem called I'm Disgusting. I look at my face in the mirror, fat. I look at my face, sweating, pimples, dirty. I am unclean. Punch the mirror. Punch, punch, punch the mirror. I hate my mother. Thank you. I am Norbert Niedelhausen. And it was just like,
did you change the name or was that the same name?
No, that was a different name. I don't remember the name. But it's always Hans, Norbert.
In the beginning, when you said the name in the beginning of the poem, yep. Did you change it from beginning to end? I don't remember.
No, I said Norbert Niedelhausen.
And you remembered it at the end?
Yes.
It's impressive.
What? I read books, you know? I have a... That's from improv. The UCB taught me how to do that. Just like little obsessive things. If you say a name, say it again and again. But then the next chick comes out, and she was like, this is my poem. I am Helga Frautenbaum. This is my poem, my cat. Drown the cat. Drown, drown, drown the cat. My sister is screaming. Thank you. I am Helga Miedelhausen. You know? And so it was just like... Like, very disturbing. But then, like, when they came to Jersey, like, we were good at bullying. You know what I mean? Like, that was our cultural exchange.
Number one.
They
were number one. Yeah, we're number one.
At bullying. They were good at, like, being emo and, like, wearing black and, like, being like, I'm moody today.
Killing Jews. They're very good at that.
I smoke cigarettes for lunch and, you know what I mean? Like, they were, like, emo-er.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we would, like, put them in sleeping bags and, like, send them down the stairs and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think German people, like people in Germany, are not like, okay, enough already with, I get it, we made mistakes.
Yeah.
Do you think they're like tired? Because no one's ever going to let it go.
Well, they have a lot of Holocaust museums out there.
Like, on which side?
Like Auschwitz, all the former concentration camps are, like, very active museums.
Okay.
So they get the word out that they fucked up one time, you know what I mean? Like, a little bit. You know what I mean? They got some principles right, but they... like, the trains were there, and they saved some of the parks and stuff like that, but they, like...
Did you ever see that movie, documentary Paperclip? Or something, Paperclip?
Operation Paperclip, are you talking about? The Nazi scientists who came to America?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
No. There was a documentary called Paperclip, or something like that, where they wanted to get 6 billion paperclips and... to represent the 6 billion people that died.
Uh-huh.
I guess you figured that out based on the context that you know. Mm. And then they put them like in the, they got like a train car from the thing, just like a Tonka. No, like one of the ones, and then they put all the paperclips in there. And it was like this story of like this class, like having people send them paperclips. And you'd think that would be like a 10-minute documentary, but it was an hour and 30 minutes.
Well, how are you going to gas all the paperclips? It takes me months to order, and then they ship cargo, wholesales. You know about Costco's.
I don't know why I brought up that.
Why did you... So, can I tell you how your autism or Asperger's manifested in my life? Speaking about Asperger's, you brought a burger into Chamber 43 that was a record store. And you had, like, a thing of melted cheese that you were dipping your fries in. You know what I mean? You almost put your burger on one of the records.
I didn't.
And I was like, whoa. But it takes somebody else to tell Danny Braff sometimes, this is inappropriate behavior. You know what I mean? Would you bring that burger into a nudie booth? And, like, you know,
I would share it with
the mustard would get all over the door handle, and then you jerk off.
Would Lady and Tramp the fries?
Now the janitor has two things to clean up, you know what I mean? Your fucking awful burger and the jizz everywhere.
The special sauce and your jizz.
You want some weed, Danny Braff?
No, I'm good.
Oh, yeah? This is what the judges thought of Danny Braff at Kill Tony.
I remember you from last year. I absolutely do remember, man. It's fucking very funny, man. Great job, dude.
Yeah, that was awesome. When you first came out, I was like, this is like if Jared from Subway was a rapist. Louis J just gave Louis J the biggest high five. This is so funny. They are bonding. They have switched hats.
So, this is interesting. You're going to like this. I mentioned last time I was on the show, I used to do magic. And I used to go to magic camp.
Okay.
And there's a competition every year.
Uh-huh.
And I created a whole magic act around Jared from Subway.
Ah.
And this was, I created it a month before he got arrested.
He made his dick disappear into a child.
Yeah, baby. That was real Louis J. Gomez right there.
Do you know how hard it is to have a Jared from Subway story and you be the creepy one?
So where were you getting at there, Danny?
So then I created this whole thing, spent a lot of money, worked on it, and then he got arrested, but I decided to do it anyway because I've spent so much fucking time.
Yeah.
So at Magic Camp, in front of like a ton of children and counselors, I did a whole act as Jared from Subway.
Oh my god.
Just holding like giant pants in front of yourself?
Yeah. I did a trick. I did one of the tricks was like I was wearing normal pants and I pulled them off and then they were like fucking huge and like it was...
Do you still do magic?
No, not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Lies!
Hey. I very infrequently do it.
Wait. I said, hold on. I said to you, Danny Braff, hey, you know, Waldo Maldonado, he's got a show July 27.
Yeah.
Let me give you a ride down to the Jersey Shore. I'm a nice guy. Okay. You go, no, I'm going to be doing magic in Florida.
I'm not doing any magic in Florida. I said most trips I do, I have a magic show to pay for the trip. This one I'm not.
Okay.
Besides the point.
I'll drive you to the airport, okay? But the second I get to your house in Flemington, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open your fucking suitcase. And if I find a hat or a stuffed rabbit or anything,
yeah.
I'm gonna say, okay, let's go to the airport, right? I'm going to take you to the airport. We'll be in Wayne. I'll be turning off into Hoboken. You're going to be like, what are you doing? You know? I thought we were going to Newark Airport. Then I'll go to the pier, and then I'll take your fucking magic stuff, and I'll kick it into the Atlantic Ocean.
I'm not going to have magic stuff.
You're not doing you're not doing a little magic. You're not doing the Jared from Subway guy routine?
No. I haven't done that since that. I did that once and never doing it again. But I'm still, this is funny. I'm still on, when I did that whole thing, I had to buy size 82 pants.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that they made size 82 pants? You do now. That's the point. And now to this day, like the to buy, there was like a website. It was like called, I forget. It was like a fat person clothing store. But I still get emails from that. Like,
make it tall?
It's like, it was like more than that. It was like,
I've been to a six.
It was like obese and, it was like morbidly obese and giant.
Morbidly obese hospice clothing.
Yeah. .com. So I still get like those emails. It was, I forget what it's called. But,
yeah. Well, yeah. Good. Well, send me some deals. I'm getting fatter and fatter. I put this Dork Forest shirt on from Jackie Cation's podcast. I did Jackie Cation's Dork Forest podcast, you know? And I put the shirt on, you know what I mean? And, like, it's almost, like, tattooed onto me because my fucking fat tits are, like it's, like, my girth is coming out this shirt, man. You know what I mean?
I can't, you know, as a fat person, you're not fat.
It's kind of, look at that.
I see that.
Look at this.
There's you got chunky. Listen,
what? Get the fuck out of my car. Chunky.
I'm
fit as a fiddle.
I used to be morbidly obese.
Yeah?
This is funny. I used to be morbidly
in high school?
No, I mean, I wasn't like, it was just like a little
bit. Did you weigh in before your bar mitzvah?
I don't. You're coming in.
When were you the fattest?
I don't know, probably 5 years ago. No, more than 5 years ago. But
how old are you now?
22.
Oh, wow. So
so then I remember 3 or 4 years ago, I went and I changed from morbidly obese. And I go to the doctor and the doctor's like, oh, Danny, you're obese. And I'm like, fuck yes. I was so happy.
Yeah.
Normally when someone says you're obese, that's bad news. But when you were morbidly obese, now you're just obese.
Was it an anxiety thing? You would just go, yum, 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 yum. I'm watching.
I feel like I didn't really change anything. I got taller. I think that's maybe.
No. Your eating patterns must have been fucked up at that time, right?
I mean, they're still pretty bad. I eat like, I do not eat good food. Mm-hmm. And I do not exercise. What happened was,
but you lost crazy weight. You probably lost 100 pounds.
When I first, less than that, probably like 60. Unless maybe 50. I don't know. But I had back, so I had a herniated disc that was making it so I had no feeling in my left leg at all.
Wow.
It was like for 2 years I would walk, like I couldn't walk. And I still walk kind of funny, if you know it. Like, right when I get out of the car, I'm going to walk normal because I'm going to be thinking about it. But if you catch me later when I'm not really thinking about how I'm walking, I still walk a little bit funny.
Did someone like hurt your disc from a tampon? Did they throw a tampon at high velocity at your back?
I don't exactly know how I got the disc, but it was bad. So then I had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And after the surgery, for like 2 weeks after the surgery, I just would like, I had no appetite, so I would like eat nothing. So I lost like 20 pounds just in 2 weeks after that. So then when I got my appetite back, I was like, okay, I already have a head start.
You had that deep fasting that like reset your gut biome.
It was a restart. So then from there, I went on a diet. It wasn't a diet. It wasn't like an official diet. The diet was, I cut out soda completely and any other
thing. Magic?
Not anymore.
No.
I'm sorry, you cut out soda?
I cut out soda and soft drinks and whatever, and I would drink a gallon of water a day, every day. And then I downloaded MyFitnessPal and I would just keep track. I wouldn't really change what I would eat, but I would just be aware of the calories I was taking
in. Oh, wow, okay.
Just being aware would end up changing it.
Yeah.
So then I lost a good amount of weight doing that. Then...
So did you weigh your food? How did you...
And I would just, like, whatever, I wouldn't really change what I would eat. I would just, I think once I hit a certain amount of calories, I was like, okay, I'm done for the day.
Oh, okay.
Because I would be like, just being aware helped.
Yeah. That's great.
Then, but then where kind of I gained a good amount back because then I went to Vegas for a magic convention.
They had buffets.
Yeah, those buffets. Okay, no. I was like, for this week, I was like, okay, I'm going to be here for a week. I can break my rule for a week.
Did that.
And then that week became a month, and that month became a... And now I don't drink a gallon of water a day and don't keep track. But right.
And that Jew girl from Maine in the camp showed up to the Vegas, and she was just like really fat. And then you're like, oh, wait, I can get fat too and still finger her in Vegas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my mom you're talking about.
Wait, you made out with your mom at 11? High five. Well, I am happy to know you, Mr. Danny Brad.
Happy to know you, Eric.
We have a, you know, I got my guard up. I was talking about with this to Waldo on the last podcast.
Well, I need to take your guard down a little bit, if you know, like... I can't. Huh? Would it take you... Let me restart?
Yeah,
if I give, if I give you a little rub and tug, sucky sucky?
That would break some barriers, I think. That would tear my walls down. Yeah. Like any fucking whore I've ever dated. Those fucking bitches. Anyway,
Do you mind if I plug my show?
Sure.
I have a show in Somerville, New Jersey called Comedy at Verve. It's every month. The next one's July 18th. One after that is August 23rd. And follow me on Instagram to know after that.
I'd like to do a plug. My specials, Conspiracies and Dick Jokes, Fart Porn and Beer Halls, and It's a Medical Device will premiere soon.
Watch Check it. My it's Facebook. Going to be good.
Yeah. I'll have some news about that very soon. Probably going to premiere at the Stress Factory.
That's really cool.
So we'll see what happens.
That's awesome.
Maybe August 8th. Anyway, yes, we have had a great, we've had a great friendship, you know. Yeah. Normally I got my guard up, but, you know, you've been very nice to me, and I really appreciate that. You're very funny.
You're very
and
nice.
And every time I see you out, I go, I get a big smile on my face. There's Danny motherfucking Brad.
There's that autistic motherfucker.
I'm going to hear about, you know, a baby's face getting shot in.
You know, this is interesting that we went this whole podcast without talking about my armpits.
How sweaty are they?
Very sweaty.
How much beard flakes do you have? Do you have chin flakes?
What's
Dude,
that?
I found, What's like, a chin I, flake? Okay. I
is that a cereal?
Yeah.
You had milk cut into bananas?
Dude, I was writing jokes. I was at my computer for a
Wait,
while.
Wait, one second. I just want to let that sink in. I just said, you said chin flakes. Mm-hmm. And I said, is that a cereal? And I just want to make sure everyone
that's
who's listening
That's a good
heard
joke.
It.
I was at my computer, I was writing some jokes, I was sending some emails. I looked down, I had like an inch pile of dandruff from my beard on the keyboard. You know what I mean?
That's disgusting.
But it absorbed the cum, so that was good. And then I just tilted it over, and then just like big kind of like Parmesan X's came
oh
out of
my God.
My computer, and now it's clean. Now it's clean as a whistle.
You know those like little air cans?
Yeah.
I'd probably use one of those.
Keister it, bud, yeah. For a good high. Well, I love you very much, Danny Braff. You're a very sweet boy.
Thank you so
You're
much.
You're a good boy.
Thank
and
you
I
much.
Don't know if you have autism. I got two PhDs, and you know, the word.
Do you really?
I don't know.
Do you have, well, no, do you have two PhDs?
No, I have a master's degree. Smoke Pot Worship Aliens, this has been Highway Diary episode 219, I believe, with Danny Braff.
Thank you very much for having me.
Plug your show one more time.
Comedy at Verve, oh, like...
Yeah, plug your show.
My show is Comedy at Verve in Somerville, New Jersey. The next one is July 18th, after that is August 23rd. Follow me on Instagram at Danny Braff to know the other dates.
Beautiful. Bye!
Magic?
No, not anymore.
No, not anymore. Is there a magic trick that you've learned that maybe you could do for this audience right now?
Oh, huh? Do your Bill Cosby piece.
Do a trick. Do a trick. Do a trick. Do a trick.
What the fuck do you mean you don't have anything? I could do a fucking magic trick right now. Do a magic trick.
I don't have anything with me.
Exactly. There you go. Luis J. Gomez has a tissue ball. He grabbed it with one hand. Whoa! Luis J. Gomez just did a great fucking magic trick. I literally...
Are you ready?
There's nothing better that works with magic than having low expectations and... I was literally expecting it to just drop out of the hand that he had, that it looked like he took it out of, and it came out of his mouth. How long have you had that napkin in your mouth? This is what we learned. He just always keeps an extra
one. A wizard never tells his secrets.
How about Amber Louis J. Gomez revealing?
I practice MMA and sorcery.
Baby James loves that trick.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not really good at anything, but I'm okay at everything.
Hey, I like that. Heck yeah. Well, Danny, anything else we need to know about you that's changed in the past year that we didn't know, find out last year? You working at Costco still?
Still working at Costco. That's what was about it. Yeah.
Are you going to get a Kill Tony tattoo if you're the funniest one of the night?
My parents would kill me.
How old are you?
Your parents?
Yeah. I'm 22, but they would be upset.
Wow, 22.
Are you Jewish?
Yeah.
That's why.
Twenty-two, but for you,
what?
Nothing. So you still live with your parents?
Yes.
Here in New York City?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. What part of New Jersey?
A small town called Flemington.
Flemington sounds like a Jewish community to me.
That place has chutzpah, Heimy Town.
Pretty sure Ari's doing a pop-in over there right now. Hell yeah! What's the most Jewish thing about you?
His face.
You're circumcised? That's it?
I don't really believe in the religion, but my parents do. So.
Wow. You'll say on a podcast that you don't believe in the religion, but you're afraid your parents will find your tattoo. Why don't we get it somewhere where your parents will never look?
Dickhead.
Yeah, dude.
I fucking can't. I'm sorry.
Right next to your butthole, put a little Kill Tony next to your spell
Tony.
Yeah,
Tony's face.
Make the butthole the O.
I'll think about it.
You'll think about it. We know what that means. Oh, my parents will kill me. Holy, yeah. Hey.
He's going to go anxiety about it for a while. Oh, God. They'll be mad, and my parents will be mad.
And their parents will be mad, and their parents will be mad.
I'll be the laughingstock of Flemington.
What would Moses think?
How excited were your parents when they found out that you got a job at a bulk discount store?
What are you doing? Selling Franks in bulk? How many weekends could somebody need?
Did they use your membership, your parents?
I don't get a membership. I use their membership, actually.
Oh, wow.
Don't you think your parents are going to be upset if you turn down a free tattoo?
I'll have it, yeah.
It's great. You're spot on, Red Man. Spot on.
My boy got a tattoo on his schmeckle? Of another man's name?
I will disown you forever. But, Dad, it was free. Come here. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Danny Braff with so far the set of the night. He's in the running to get a free tattoo. A Jewish oxymoron.
Get yourself a tattoo when you took us. Who's gonna know the difference?
I like them.